Chapter 4, Working as a Professional Service Technician. Professionalism. Professionalism and personal credibility are important and can determine success as a service technician or as a customer service provider. A true professional does the following on a regular basis. 1. Practice consistency. Be positive, professional, and warm at all times. 2. Keep your word. Follow through with the commitments that you make. People will not have faith in you if you break your promises. 3. Develop technical expertise. Become very knowledgeable about the vehicles being serviced. Attend regular update training classes to keep up with the latest technical information and equipment. 4. Become a teammate with your coworkers. Working successfully with others shows that you have common goals and can benefit from the specific skills of others. 5. Be accountable. Practice honesty all of the time, admit mistakes, and take responsibility for actions. Apologize if you are wrong. Ethics. Ethics are a set of principles that govern the conduct of an individual or group. Sometimes ethical decisions are easy to recognize and are perceived as popular choices of behavior by the people around us. At other times, the spectrum of potential choices falls into gray areas in which the right, or wrong course of action is difficult or nearly impossible to identify. When faced with an ethically challenging situation, ask yourself the following questions. Is it legal? Is it against local, state, or federal laws? Is it fair? Is it harmful to me or to others? How do I feel about it? Is it against the teachings of my parents or my religion? Would the court of public opinion find my behavior incorrect? Would it disappoint my family? Am I fearful of what those I trust would say about my actions? Would I be hurt or upset if someone did this to me? The above questions can be quite revealing when attempting to choose an ethical course of action. Tech tip. Clean clothes are a must. Anyone who meets the public in any business must not only be dressed appropriately, but the clothing should be clean. Service advisors and others that greet the public should also be sure that their shoes are shined. Dull, dirty, or scuffed shoes or a messy appearance reflects an unprofessional look. Communications. The five main methods of communication used in effective customer service interaction include listening, talking, nonverbal communications, reading, and writing. Listening. Active listening is the ability to hear and understand what the speaker is saying. To listen to your customers or other technicians is to show them that you care about and respect their questions and concerns. It is not easy to be a good listener. It takes practice and dedication to improve your listening techniques. Listening is a skill that must continuously be developed. Several barriers to good listening exist. A listener may be distracted from what is being said, have a closed mind to the speaker and the message, won't stop talking, or is lazy and unwilling to make the commitment to be a good listener. Listening requires the listener to stop talking and to hear what the speaker is saying. It has been said that humans were given two ears and one mouth because we are supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. The best way to keep your mind focused on the speaker and to avoid becoming distracted is to pay attention. We can think about 10 times faster than we can speak, so frequently we have processed what speakers have said and are waiting for them to catch up with us. By focusing on speakers and on what is being said, we are less likely to miss the messages being delivered. Putting that into practice is not as easy as it sounds. A good listener does the following. Focuses on the speaker and what is being said. Looks at the speaker and makes eye contact when possible. Listens with an open mind. Rephrases what was said to clarify that the intended message is understood. A good listener knows the joy of sharing and communicating with others. Work to become the best listener you can be. Tech tip. Never use profanity. Regardless of the situation, a true professional never resorts to the use of profanity. If tensions are high and the discussion becomes heated, try to diffuse the situation by turning the situation over to someone else. Talking means speaking, using words and terminology that others can comprehend. Eye contact is always important when we are communicating with others. Eye contact is allowing our eyes to make visual contact with someone else's. In our culture, eye contact conveys sincerity and interest. Avoiding eye contact may suggest a lack of concern or lack of honesty. Customers may perceive that a customer service provider is not interested in what they are saying if they do not periodically make eye contact with the customer. When dealing with people from other cultures, customer service providers should be aware of cultural differences. In many other cultures, eye avoidance is a sign of respect. Be sensitive to others, but use eye contact whenever possible. Nonverbal communication. The tone and inflection of the voice, facial expressions, posture, hand movements, and eye contact are all forms of nonverbal communications. These nonverbal indicators can contradict the message conveyed through another method of communication. Nonverbal communication includes body posture, such as having the arms crossed. When a person crosses their arms, or looks at other things rather than paying attention to what you are discussing, these actions could indicate one of several things, including 1. They are not interested in what you are saying. 2. They don't believe what you are saying. 3. They are not listening. Tech tip: always have paper and a pen. When talking to a customer, whether in person or on the telephone, have paper and a pencil or pen to record the necessary information. In this case, the customer service representative at a dealer is using a pre-printed form to record the service procedures to be performed on a customer's vehicle while talking on the phone. See Figure 4.1. If this type of nonverbal communication is noticed, there are several things that could be done to overcome this barrier, including 1. Ask questions, which would require them to pay attention, plus it shows that you are interested in what they think. 2. Give the customer options rather than just ask them what they want, such as saying, "Would you prefer to have this work done all at the same time or spread out over several weeks?" Telephone communication: a large percentage of customers make first contact with a shop or dealer service department by telephone. Service technicians normally do not talk to customers directly, but may be asked to help clarify a repair or a service procedure. Some suggestions when talking on the telephone include: use proper titles for the people with whom you communicate. If in doubt about whether to use a first name, call the person by the more formal Mr. or Ms. If they prefer the more informal first name, they will say so. It is better to be a little too formal than overly familiar. Thank people for calling. Thank you is the most powerful phrase in human relations, and it reassures customers that you are interested in serving them. Try to avoid technical terms and abbreviations, such as EGR and other terms commonly used in the trade, but that will not be understood by the customer. Try to phrase the technical description by saying that you replaced or serviced a part in the emission control system and include the entire name of the part, such as the exhaust gas recirculation valve. Keep your comments positive and focused toward solving the problem or concern. Refer to Figure 4.2. If you smile while talking on the telephone, your attitude will be transmitted to the customer. Tech tip: smile while you talk. If you smile while talking on the telephone, your voice will reflect a positive and helpful attitude, which customers or vendors will easily recognize over the telephone. See Figure 4.2. Avoid saying anything that makes people or your shop look unprofessional or uncaring. When dealing with customers, some words are more positive and appropriate to use. Some customer service providers find it helpful to list words to use and words to avoid on a card so that it is available for easy reference. Speak clearly and distinctly. Hold the telephone mouthpiece about a half inch from your lips. Speak naturally and comfortably. Talk to your caller as you would to a friend. Move to a quiet area if background noise level is high. Writing is communicating by using the written word so that others can understand the intended message. Service technicians are required to document the work that was performed on a vehicle. For some technicians, this is the most difficult part of the service. If writing, be sure it is legible and, if not, print all messages and information. Writing or typing in the description of the steps performed during the diagnosis and repair of the vehicle should be worded as if the technician is talking to the customer. For example, if a coolant leak was repaired by replacing the water pump, the technician should write out the following steps and operations on the work order. 1. Visually verified coolant leaking. 2. Performed a pressure test of the cooling system and located the leak as coming from the water pump. 3. Replaced the water pump, added new coolant, and bled the system of trapped air. 4. Pressure tested the cooling system to verify that the leak was corrected, no leaks found. Reading means the ability to read and comprehend the written word. All service technicians need to be able to read, understand, and follow written instructions and repair procedures. If some words are not understood, use a dictionary or ask another technician for help. For example, a beginning technician read in the service information that the wiring connector was adjacent to the coolant reservoir. The technician did not understand what the word adjacent meant and found out from another technician that it meant next or close to. If reading a note from a customer written in another language you do not understand, try to ask if someone else in the shop can read it for you. Tech tip: use internet translation. If the customer is non-English speaking, type the information into a text document and search for a translation on the internet. Give the copy of the translated document to the customer. The customer request could also be translated into English, if needed, to help the shop understand exactly what the customer is requesting and needs. Tech tip: the internet is your friend. If unsure as to how something works or if you need more detailed information about something, go to www.google.com and search for the topic. Using the internet can help with locating hard-to-find facts and can even be used to help with a service procedure that you have not done before. For a link to all factory service information, go to the website of National Automotive Service Task Force at www.nasf.org. Look at the work scheduled for the next day and try to determine as much about the job as possible so you can be prepared the next day to tackle the procedure. Using the International Automotive Technicians Network at www.iatn.net is also very helpful for technical information and can help pin down hard-to-find problems. What happens the first day? The first day on the job, someone, usually the shop owner or shop foreman, should introduce the new technician to key people at the shop. Show the new technician the facility, parking, rules, and regulations of the organization. Establish the new technician's work area. Ask questions of the new technician regarding their skills and talents. The shop owner or foreman should review the training tasks that were completed in school. Try to direct work to the new technician that covers the new training material. The first day on the job, the beginning technician should smile and ask questions if needed to clarify procedures and regulations. Be prepared to take and pass a drug test. Assure the service manager or shop owner that you are serious about a career as an automotive technician. A work order, also called a repair order or RO, is assigned to a technician who is best qualified to perform the work. The technician gets the keys and drives the vehicle to an assigned service bay, also called a stall, performs the proper diagnosis, gets the necessary parts from the parts department, and completes the repair. After the service work has been performed, the service technician should then fill out the work order and describe what work was performed. These are called the three C's. 1. Concern. Write on the work order what was done to confirm the customer's concern. For example, drove the vehicle at highway speed and verified a vibration. 2. Cause. The service technician should write the cause of the problem. For example, used a scan tool and discovered that cylinder number 3 was misfiring. 3. Correction. The service technician should write what was done to correct the problem. For example, removed the spark plug wire from cylinder number 3 and by visual inspection found that the boot had been arcing to the cylinder head. Replaced the spark plug wire and verified that the misfire was corrected. Tech tip: don't touch other technicians' tools. A beginning technician seldom has all of the tools needed to perform all of the service and repair tasks. A technician's tools are very important. If a tool needs to be borrowed, the beginning technician should ask for permission to borrow a tool. Then when the tool is returned, it should be clean and replaced back exactly where the technician asks for it to be returned. Tech tip: regulated terms to use. In some states or areas where automotive service is regulated, such as in California or Michigan, it is important that the term used to describe a labor operation is the term defined by the state agency. This means that some terms used in parts and time guides may not be the same terms used by the state. Always check that the terms used are in compliance with all regulations. Some terms that could be affected include rebuild, repair, overhaul, inspection and R&R, remove and replace, and safety inspection. Duties of a service technician. Reading the work order. A work order is selected or assigned to a service technician who then performs the listed tasks. The work order should be written so that the technician knows exactly what needs to be done. However, if there is any doubt, the technician should clarify the needed task with the service advisor or the person who spoke to the customer. Tech tip: if late, call. When running late, you may know that you will be just a few minutes late, but your boss does not know how late you will be. If you are going to be late, even by a few minutes, call the shop and let them know. This does not eliminate your being late from your record, but does demonstrate your concern to your service manager and other technicians who are counting on you to being on time to work every day. Tech tip: ask me about this. A good service advisor will document what the customer wants done on the work order. However, there are times when the explanation and description would take too long and too much space to be practical. In these cases, the wise service advisor simply states on the work order for the service technician to see the service advisor to discuss the situation. The service advisor can write the basic request to document what is needed. Talking to customers. The typical service technician usually does not talk directly to a customer except in some smaller shops. However, there may be cases where the technician will be asked to clarify a procedure or repair to a customer. Many technicians do not like to talk to the customers and fear that they may say too much or not enough. If a technician is asked to talk to a customer, try to keep the discussion to the following without being too technical. The service technician should repeat the original concern. This is to simply verify to the customer and the technician the goal of the service or repair. The cause of the fault should be mentioned. If further diagnostic steps needed to find the cause are requested, discuss the steps followed and the equipment or tools used. Discuss what was done to solve the concern, including what part or parts were replaced. This step may also include what other service operations were needed to complete the repair, such as reprogramming the computer. Note: if the customer speaks a foreign language that you do not understand, excuse yourself and locate someone in the shop who can assist you with communicating with the customer. Avoid using slang or abbreviation of technical terms. Ask the person if they understand and be willing to restate, if needed, until the situation is understood. This can often be difficult if discussing technical situations to persons of another language or culture. Estimating a repair: sometimes a service technician is asked to help create an estimate for the customer. It is usually the responsibility of the service advisor or shop owner to create estimates. The technician may be helpful by pointing out all of the operations that need to be performed to achieve a repair. The estimate for a repair includes parts needed. This list would also include any gaskets and/or supplies needed. The technician can help identify if extra supplies may be needed. Labor: a published time guide is usually used, but many times options, such as rear air conditioning or four-wheel drive, may add substantial time to the operation. The technician can help with the estimate by making sure that the options are pointed out to the service advisor or shop owner. Tech tip: car, truck, or vehicle? When discussing a vehicle with a customer, it is best to avoid creating problems. For example, if a technician asked about a customer's car, the customer could become concerned because they drive a truck and many owners of trucks do not want their vehicle called a car. Use of the term vehicle, a generic term, is often recommended when talking to customers to avoid possible concerns. Documenting the work order: the service technician must document the work order. This means that the service technician must write, or type, what all was done to the vehicle, including documenting defective components or conditions that were found in the course of the diagnosis. The documentation is often called telling the story and should include the following: the test equipment used to diagnose the problem. For example, used a TEC 2 scan tool to retrieve PO300 random misfire diagnostic trouble code. Used a digital multimeter to determine a spark plug wire was defective. List what parts or service operations were performed. For example, replace the spark plug wire on cylinder number 3, used a scan tool to clear the diagnostic trouble codes and verify that the engine is operating correctly. Following recommended procedures: all service technicians should follow the diagnostic and service procedures specified by the vehicle manufacturer. Following service information procedures includes: follow and document the diagnostic procedure. Writing down the test results helps the customer see all that was involved in the procedure and creates the proper paper trail for future reference, if needed. Follow the recommended removal and reinstallation (R&R) procedures. This step helps prevent the possibility of doing harm to the vehicle if an alternative method is attempted. Always torque fasteners to factory specifications. This step is very important because under or over-tightened fasteners can cause problems that were not present until after the repair. The wise technician will document torque specifications on the work order. Customer pay, CP, means that the customer will be paying for the service work at a dealership rather than the warranty. Often the same factory flat rate number of hours is used to calculate the technician's pay, but customer pay often pays the service technician at a higher rate. For example, a service technician earning $15 per flat rate hour for warranty work may be paid $18 per hour for customer pay work. Obviously, service technicians prefer to work on vehicles that require customer pay service work rather than factory warranty service work. Frequently asked question: what can a service technician do to earn more money? Because service technicians are paid on a commission basis, flat rate, the more work that is completed, the more hours the technician can turn. Therefore, to earn the most money, the service technician could do the following to increase the amount of work performed. Keep up to date and learn the latest technical information. Practice good habits that help avoid errors or incomplete repairs. Learn from experienced and successful fellow technicians and try to approach the repair the same way the successful technician does. Purchase the proper tools to do the work efficiently. Note: This does not mean that every technician needs to purchase all possible tools. Purchase only those tools that you know you will need and use. Non-dealership flat rate. Technicians who work for independent service facilities or at other non-dealership locations use one or both of the following to set rates of pay: Mitchell, Motors, or Chilton Parts and Time Guides. Alldata, ShopKey, CarQuest, AutoValue, Mitchell, AC Delco, or other shop management software program. These guides contain service operation and flat rate times. Generally, these are about 20% higher, longer, than those specified by the factory flat rate to compensate for rust or corrosion and other factors of time and mileage that often lengthen the time necessary to complete a repair. Again, the service technician is usually paid a dollar amount per flat rate hour based on one of these aftermarket flat rate guides. The guides also provide a list price for the parts for each vehicle. This information allows the service advisor to accurately estimate the total cost of the repair. Flagging a work order. When a service technician completes a service procedure or repair, a sticker or notification on the work order indicates the following. Technician number, rather than a name, is often used, not only to shorten the identification, but also to shield the actual identity of the technician from the customer. Work order number. Actual clock time from a time clock record for certain jobs, as needed. Amount of time allocated to the repair expressed in hours and tenths of an hour. The application of the service technician's sticker to the back of the work order or completing the details of the repair into the electronic service record is called flagging the work order. Note, the actual assignment of the time is often done by another person at the dealership or service facility. This procedure assures that the correct number of hours is posted to the work order and to the technician's ticket. Refer to Figure 4.3, note the skill levels of the technician and the extra time that should be added if work is being performed on a vehicle that has excessive rust or other factors as stated in the time guide. Tech tip. Technician skill level and severe service. Most aftermarket service information includes a guideline for the relative level of the technician's skill required to perform the listed service procedures. These include: A equals highly skilled and experienced technician. B equals skilled technician who is capable of performing diagnosis of vehicle systems. C equals semi-skilled technician who is capable of performing routine service work without direct supervision. Many time guides provide additional time for vehicles that may be excessively rusted due to climate conditions or have been subjected to abuse. Be sure to quote the higher rate if any of these conditions are present on the customer's vehicle. See Figure 4.3. Sublet repairs. Often a repair, or a part of a repair, is performed by another person or company outside of the dealership or service facility. For example, an engine needing repair that also has a defective or leaking radiator would be repaired by the original repair facility, but the radiator may be sent to a specialty radiator repair shop. The radiator repair cost is then entered on the work order as a sublet repair. Parts replacement. Parts replacement is often called R&R, meaning remove and replace. Note, R&R can also mean remove and repair, but this meaning is generally not used as much now as it used to be when components such as starters and air conditioning compressors were repaired rather than replaced as an assembly. R&I is often used to indicate remove and inspect to check a component for damage. The old replaced part is often returned for remanufacturing and is called a core. A core charge is often charged by parts stores when a new, or remanufactured, part is purchased. This core charge usually represents the value of the old component. Because it is needed by the remanufacturer as a starting point for the remanufacturing process, the core charge is also an incentive to return the old part for credit, or refund, of the core charge. Note, most parts stores today require that all cores be returned in the original boxes. Be sure to place the defective part into the same box that was used for the new or remanufactured part to be sure that the shop gets the proper credit for the core. Original equipment parts. Parts at a new vehicle dealership come either directly from the vehicle manufacturer or a regional dealership. If one dealership purchases from another dealership, the cost of the part is higher, but no waiting is required. If a dealership orders a part from the manufacturer directly, the cost is lower, but there is often a 7 to 10 day waiting period. Original equipment parts, abbreviated OE, are generally of the highest quality because they have to meet performance and durability standards not required of replacement parts manufacturers. Note, many service technicians will use only OE parts for certain critical systems, such as fuel injection and ignition system components because, in their experience, even though the price is often higher, the extra quality seems to be worth the cost, not only to the owner of the vehicle, but also to the service technician, who does not have to worry about having to replace the same part twice. Aftermarket parts, parts manufactured to be sold for use after the vehicle is made are often referred to as aftermarket parts or renewal parts. Most aftermarket parts are sold at automotive parts stores or jobbers. A jobber or parts retailer usually gets parts from a large regional warehouse distributor. The warehouse distributor can either purchase parts directly from the manufacturer or from an even larger central warehouse. Because each business needs to make a profit, typically 35%, the cost to the end user may not be lower than it is for the same part purchased at a dealership, two-step process instead of the typical three-step process, even though it costs more to manufacture the original equipment part. To determine what a 35% margin increase is for any product, simply divide the cost by 0.65. To illustrate how this works, compare the end cost of a part, part A, from a dealership and a parts store. Retail parts store. Manufacturer selling price is $17. Warehouse distributor's selling price is $26.15. $17 divided by 0.65 equals $26.15. Retail store selling price is $40.23. $26.15 divided by 0.65 equals $40.23. New vehicle dealership. Manufacturer selling price is $25. Parts department selling price is $38.46. $25 divided by 0.65 equals $38.46. Note, the cost of the part to the customer where service work is performed is increased about 35% over the base cost of the part. For example, a part that costs the repair facility $40.23 will be billed to the customer at about $61. The retail service customer at the dealer may pay $59.17. New versus remanufactured parts. New parts are manufactured from raw materials and have never been used on a vehicle. A remanufactured component, also called rebuilt, has been used on a vehicle until the component wore out or failed. A remanufacturer totally disassembles the component, cleans, machines, and performs all the necessary steps to restore the part to a like-new look and function. If properly remanufactured, the component can be expected to deliver the same length of service as a new component part. The cost of a remanufactured component is often less than the cost of a new part. Caution: do not always assume that a remanufactured component is less expensive than a new component. Due to the three-step distribution process, the final cost to the end user, you, may be close to the same. Used parts. Used parts offer another alternative to either new or remanufactured parts. The cost of a used component is typically one-half the cost of the component if purchased new. Wrecking and salvage yards use a Hollander manual that lists original equipment part numbers and cost and cross-references them to other parts that are the same. Working with a mentor. A mentor is a person at the job site who helps the beginning service technician, also called the trainee. The word mentor comes from Greek mythology. In Homer's The Odyssey, Mentor was the faithful companion and friend of Ulysses, Odysseus, the king of Ithaca. Before Ulysses went to the Trojan Wars, he instructed Mentor to stay and take full charge of the royal household. This meant that Mentor had to be father figure, teacher, role model, counselor, trusted advisor, challenger, and encourager to the king's son in order that he become a wise and good ruler. Therefore, a good definition of a mentor would be a highly qualified individual who is entrusted with the protection and development of an inexperienced technician. A mentor therefore fulfills many roles, such as teacher, helps teach information and procedures. Coach, has the trainee practice service procedures. Counselor, concerned about, but not trained to offer advice on personal life decisions. Advisor, helps with career type decisions, such as what tools are needed. Advocate, stands up for the trainee, represents and helps the trainee's concerns be expressed to others. Role model, presents a positive role model every day. Tech tip. Work habit hints. The following statements reflect the expectations of service managers or shop owners for their technicians. 1. Report to work every day on time. Being several minutes early every day is an easy way to show your service manager and fellow technicians that you are serious about your job and career. 2. If you must be late or absent, call your service manager as soon as possible. 3. Keep busy. If not assigned to a specific job, ask what activities the service manager or supervisor wants you to do. 4. Report any mistakes or accidents immediately to your supervisor or team leader. Never allow a customer to be the first to discover a mistake. 5. Never lie to your employer or to a customer. 6. Always return any borrowed tools as soon as you are done with them and in clean condition. Show the person you borrow the tools from that you are returning them to the toolbox or workbench. 7. Keep your work area neat and orderly. 8. Always use fender covers when working under the hood. 9. Double check your work to be sure that everything is correct. A. Remember, if you are forcing something, you are probably doing something wrong. B. Ask for help if unclear as to what to do or how to do it. 10. Do not smoke in a customer's vehicle. 11. Avoid profanity. 12. Do not touch the radio. If the radio is turned on and prevents you from hearing noises, turn the volume down. Try to return the vehicle to the owner with the radio at the same volume as originally set. Note: some shops have a policy that requires employees to turn the radio off. 13. Keep yourself neatly groomed, including A. Shirt tail tucked into pants, unless shirt is designed to be worn outside. B. Daily bathing and use of deodorant. C. Clean hair, regular haircuts, and hair tied back if long. D. Men, daily shave or keep beard and or mustache neatly trimmed. E. Women, makeup and jewelry kept to a minimum. Qualifications of a good mentor. A good mentor should be assigned to a new technician. Qualifications of a good mentor include: trade proficiency. The person selected should be a highly skilled technician. Good coaching / mentoring skills and techniques. The mentor has to have patience and be willing to help the trainee by explaining each step needed to complete a service procedure. Leadership / role model. The mentor should take pride in being a professional service technician and of high ethical and professional standards. Mentoring a trainee can be frustrating for an experienced technician. This occurs because the mentor needs to verify almost everything the trainee does until satisfied that competence has been achieved. Even very basic procedures need to be watched, such as hoisting the vehicle, changing the oil and oil filter, plus many other operations. As a result, the time taken to help the beginning technician will reduce the efficiency, and therefore, the pay of the mentor. However, after several weeks, the trainee can start helping the mentor, thereby increasing efficiency. Tech tip: adhere to the times. When starting a new job at a shop or dealership, be sure to ask about the following. What time should I arrive at work? This may be different than the scheduled work starting time. For example, the workday could start at 8 a.m., but the shop owner or service manager may want all technicians to arrive and start to get ready to work at 7:50 a.m. When is break time? Breaks may or may not be regularly scheduled, and it is important for the beginning technician to know and adhere to break times. When is lunch time? In some busy shops, the lunch period is staggered to be sure that some technicians are always available for work. Always be willing to adhere to the requested lunch period. Teamwork. Team building. A team is a group of individuals working together to achieve a common goal. Even shops or service departments that do not use a team system with a group of technicians is still a team. All members of the service department are really part of a team effort working together to achieve efficient vehicle service and customer satisfaction. The key to building a team that works together is selecting employees that are willing to work together. While the shop owner or service manager at a dealership has hiring authority, every technician should consider what is best for the entire group to help increase repeat business and satisfied customers. Leadership roles. As a technician gains experience, he or she often asks for guidance, not only for technical answers, but also for how to handle other issues in the shop, such as paperwork, use of aftermarket parts, and other issues. Therefore, the more experience the technician has, the more likely he or she will be placed in a leadership and role model position. Goal setting and business meetings. Goal setting. The wise service technician sets goals to achieve during a career in life. The purpose of goal setting is to focus efforts on improving your personal and professional life. Goals can include aspects of career, physical, family, education, financial and public service. There are many helpful websites that can be used to help set and track progress toward achieving goals. The hardest part of any goal is to write it down. Until it is written down, a goal is not real. Business meetings. All service technicians attend business, shop, meetings. A good business meeting will have the following features. 1. An agenda, list of topics to be discussed, will be given out or displayed. 2. The meeting should start on time and end on time. 3. If someone is to give a report or be asked to do a project, This topic should be discussed with the designated person before the meeting to avoid that person being surprised and made to feel uncomfortable. 4. The meeting should be held following the Robert's Rule of Order guidelines. 5. Often meetings include others from inside or outside the company or shop, so try to look your best and smile to make the best impression. Advancement skills. The job of a service technician becomes more valuable to the shop or dealership if work can be accomplished quickly and without any mistakes. Therefore, being careful to avoid errors is the first consideration for any service technician. Then, with experience, the speed of accomplishing tasks can and will increase. More than speed is needed to become a master technician. It requires problem-solving and critical thinking skills, too. While beginning technicians are usually not required to diagnose problems, troubleshooting skills are very important toward becoming a master technician. Most master technicians follow a plan that includes 1. Always verify the customer concern. 2. Perform a thorough visual inspection and check for possible causes of the problem, including damage from road debris or accidents. 3. Use a scan tool and check for stored diagnostic trouble codes, DTCs. 4. Check service information for technical service bulletins, TSBs. 5. Check service information and follow all diagnostic trouble charts. 6. Locate and correct the root cause of the problem. 7. Verify the repair and document the work order. The hardest part of the diagnostic process is to locate the root cause of the problem. The process of analyzing and evaluating information and making a conclusion is called critical thinking. Housekeeping duties. A professional service technician is usually responsible for keeping his or her work area clean and tidy. Good housekeeping includes all of the following. Clean floor. If coolant or oil is spilled on the floor during a repair procedure, it should be cleaned before starting another job. Toolbox. Keep work area and toolbox clean and organized. Items kept off the floor. It is easy to allow parts and other items to be stored in and around the toolbox and in corners. However, having items on the floor makes keeping the area clean and neat looking very difficult. Keep areas around exits and fire extinguishers clear. Do not store or place parts, boxes, or shop equipment, such as floor jacks and testers, near exits and fire extinguishers. This helps ensure that people can have easy access to exits or the fire extinguishers in the event of an emergency. Avoid spraying chemicals in the air. To help keep the air in the shop clean, keep the use of spray chemicals, such as brake cleaner, to a minimum and avoid spraying where it could result in affecting the air others breathe. Tech tip. Keeping things off the floor. To make cleaning easier and for a more professional shop appearance, keep only those items on the floor that have to be on the floor and find a place off the floor for all other items. Tech tip. Look at the shop from a customer's point of view to determine if the shop and other technicians look professional. Step outside and enter the shop through the same door as a customer. Now look around. Look at the shop and the other technicians. Does the shop give the appearance of a professional service facility? If not, try to improve the look by asking the shop owner or service manager to do the same thing in an attempt to create a more professional looking shop. Job evaluation. In most jobs, there is an evaluation of performance. A beginning technician is not expected to perform at the same level as an experienced master technician but should be able to do the following. Follow instructions. The trainee should follow the instructions of the mentor or service manager. This includes making sure that the person is notified when the job has been completed and if there were any problems. Do no harm. Avoid exerting a lot of force to door panels or other components to help avoid breaking clips or components. Always use the right tool for the job. For example, never use pliers to remove a bolt or nut, which could round off the flats of the fastener. Always think before acting, am I going to hurt something by doing this? Keep a neat and clean appearance. It is normal to get dirty while performing service work on a vehicle. However, after each job is completed or even during the repair, try to keep as clean as possible. A professional service technician should try to maintain a professional appearance at all times. For example, if coolant or automatic transmission fluid, ATF, gets onto a shirt or pants, the wise technician would change into a clean uniform before working on another vehicle. Many shop owners and service managers recommend that shirt tails always be tucked into pants to ensure a more professional appearance. Ask that your work be checked. Even though the trainee thinks that the service or repair was done correctly, until confidence has been established, it is wise to ask to have all work double checked. Caution: never allow a mistake to reach the customer. It is only a problem if it cannot be corrected. Tech tip. Write it down. If a technician needs to have another technician finish a repair due to illness or some other reason, be sure to write down exactly what was done and what needs to be done. Verbal communication, while very effective, is often not a good way to explain multiple steps or processes. For example, the other technician could easily forget that the oil had not yet been added to the engine, which could cause a serious problem if the engine were to be started. If in doubt, write it down. Tech tip: don't cover up mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. While a damaged component or vehicle is never a good thing to have happened, the wise technician should notify the service manager or other person in charge as soon as a problem or accident occurs. Only then can work begin to correct the problem. If a mistake is hidden, eventually someone will learn about the error and then people will not think it was wise to ignore or to cover up the situation. Formal evaluation: the mentor and/or service manager may or may not conduct a written evaluation on a regular basis. If a written evaluation is performed, this is called a formal evaluation. A formal evaluation usually includes many points of discussion. See the sample evaluation form. In formal evaluation, in many cases, a beginning technician's activities are simply observed and noted, which is a type of informal evaluation. Both are usually done and both can influence the technician's pay. Note: most employees are fired from a job as the result of not being able to get along with others, rather than a lack of technical skills. Technician evaluation, refer to page 34. Review questions. Question 1: what factors are part of being a professional service technician? Question 2: what is a mentor? Question 3: a formal evaluation could include what items? Question 4: what are the 3 C's? Question 5: what should be included on the work order after the repair has been completed? Chapter Quiz. Question 1: professionalism includes which factor? A. Keeping your word. B. Becoming a teammate with your co-workers. C. Apologizing if you are wrong. D. All of the above. Question 2: types of communications include? A. Verbal. B. Written. C. Nonverbal. D. All of the above. Question 3: the 3 C's include? A. Correction, correct torque, and customer name. B. Concern, cause, and correction. C. Cause, cost, and caller name. D. Captured data, cause, and cost, of the repair. Question 4: when documenting the work order, what things should be listed? A. The test equipment used in the diagnosis. B. The test procedure that was followed. C. The parts that were replaced. D. All of the above. Question 5: technician A says that customer pay rate is sometimes higher than the factory flat rate. Technician B says that the factory flat rate times are usually longer, given more time, compared to aftermarket flat rate time guides. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 6: housekeeping duties of a technician can include? A. Cleaning the floor. B. Keeping the work area clean and organized. C. Keeping items off the floor whenever possible. D. All of the above. Question 7: a repair shop pays $22.50 for an aftermarket water pump. With a shop margin of 35%, how much will the customer be charged for the water pump? A. $22.50. B. $22.50 plus 10%. C. $34.62. D. $38.50. Question 8: which of the following is a characteristic of good business meetings? A. The meeting should start on time and can be easily extended beyond the decided end time. B. The meeting should not include anyone outside the company or shop. C. The meeting should follow Robert's Rules of Order. D. The agenda of the meeting should be displayed at the end. Question 9: a mentor performs all of the following except: A. Helps guide diagnosis of a problem. B. Signs paychecks. C. Offers advice on how to do a job. D. Advises on professional behavior. Question 10: which of the following characteristics is evaluated under maturity, on a technician evaluation form? A. Completely dependable. B. Has difficulty working with others. C. Very slow to learn. D. Seldom assertive. End of chapter 4.